This is Chris Stevenson of Strange Assembly. I'm here today with Todd Roland of Alderac Entertainment Group to talk about the company's upcoming game, Nightfall. How are you doing, Todd?
I'm doing quite well. Hello, everybody.
Now, Nightfall, as I understand it, is a deck-building game featuring ghouls and vampires and werewolves. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it up front?
Sure. Yeah, you kind of hit it on the head. Nightfall is a deck-building game. It is set in a world of sort of eternal night. For whatever reason, the sun no longer shines on the earth, and all the monsters that went bump in the night have decided to kind of come out in the open and just try to take over the world for their own. It is a rather violent setting. There's not a terrible amount of subtlety or politics or anything else involved. You've got vampires trying to beat up werewolves right in the middle of Times Square and, you know, things of that nature. The National Guard moving out to try to fight them and things like that. And to the deck building side of it, you know, we had we've had great success with Thunderstone. Thunderstone has really been just a runaway hit for us. But the one thing we were looking at when we were analyzing the deck building market, the growing deck building market, was that there wasn't a great deal of direct head-to-head player interaction, you know, PvP style. It was mostly you and some bunch of other people putting together decks that, in the case of Thunderstone, would run against the monsters, or in the case of some other games, would basically just run a system. So what we wanted to do was to try to make something that made direct player interaction the focal point rather than an add-on to the game.
Yeah, I know that one of our cast members, Trevor, has avoided deck-building games like the plague because he feels that a lot of them are multiplayer solitaire. So it sounds like this might address his concern.
We're hoping so, yeah. And you know, that moniker's not at all inapplicable. It can even be applicable to Thunderstone at times. But again, that is a type of game that definitely attracts a good deal of customers who do enjoy that. And so now we're hoping to pull some of them along and possibly reach out to another demographic that, you know, enjoys CCGs and enjoys the idea of trying to tune a deck to go directly, you know, after the other player at the same time. And of course, Nightfall supports up to 5 players out of the base. So you and it is, you know, we have arguments, you know, some people really enjoy the 2-player version. I really enjoy getting a lot of players going, but that's just because I like to see a lot of effects going off at once. But it's really good either way.
Now, you mentioned effects. I've seen some of the preview cards on the Nightfall Facebook page, and I've noticed effects listed as chain, as in play, as kicker. Can you say anything about what those terms on the cards mean?
Sure. The basic concept of the game, the basic mechanic concept of the game, is what we call chaining. If you notice, if you've seen on the previews of the cards, in the upper left corner, there's some little moon symbols. And there's 6 different colors. And in most cases, the moon will have, there'll be a large moon that, let's say that it's red. So that's a quote-unquote red card. Following it will be 2 other moons. Say, for instance, a blue one and a green one. When you play your card there, the next card you can play can either be that green or blue. So you could play a green or a blue, and then following that, you can play another one. When you, as the active player, have decided to stop, the next player to your left can pick up where you left off. So if at the end of yours you left, say, a white and a yellow, they could drop a white or a yellow and keep it going. It then proceeds all the way around the table. You do not get another shot at it as active player. The player to your right will be the last one to add on to it. But then, starting with that player and in a sort of a last in, first out thing, the effects begin to resolve. So there's an interesting strategy in that you get to play first, but your effect isn't going to go off until the end. Chain basically means as the card is resolving, as you're working your way backwards through the chain, when it's that card's turn to resolve, a chain effect goes off. If it's on an action card, it just goes off, has the effect, and then is discarded. If it's a minion, the effect goes off, and then the minion comes into play in front of you. That's where, as you saw some other effects say, in play. If a minion is actively in play, its in play effect goes off. Generally, those are more static effects. There's not really, like, I'm in play, so I'm going to cause this to happen at any particular time. It's just an always on sort of thing. And then kickers are another interesting part of the game where you have a color down at the bottom beside your kicker text. And if the card in the chain before this one matches that kicker color, so if your kicker is red and you chained this card to a red card, you'll get your kicker effect, which is just another bonus effect, usually more powerful than your base chain effects. But oftentimes, some kickers intentionally fall sort of in the weird category. They'll mess with the game in some strange ways, like making the next card's effect go off twice or something like that. So those are those basic terms in the game.
Okay. Well, that sounded like one of the two, I guess, phases of the game. And that I imagine that as a deck-building game, there's one mechanic for getting cards into your deck, and then the combat is what you do with them after you're in the deck. Is there anything you can tell us about how you go about setting up the game and then adding cards into your deck as the game goes on?
Yeah, absolutely. I can go ahead and tell you about that. I've talked a little bit about it online, but maybe I can give a more clear example of it. And just so that everybody who's wondering might want to know, the rulebook will go online in February, but we have decided to hold off on putting out the rulebook until the first winners in our first 100 days contest get theirs in their hands, so they do get a little bit of a exciting heads up before everyone else. But the basic idea behind this one was to try to simulate a booster draft type situation where you take one copy of every card, which are we have a separate deck of draft cards with a different back so that you can just more quickly do this and get the game set up and you don't have to sort out the cards in between every time. But you deal out four cards to every player, and then each player takes those four cards in their hands. They look at them, they choose one, and they put it face down in front of them. They pass the other three to the left. They then pick a second card out of those three and put it face down in front of them. They pass the next two to the left. Out of those two remaining cards, the player who has them picks one card to go to what we call the commons, which means this card type is going to be available for every player. And then they get to then the other card, the final card, is removed from the game. So there's a bit of, you know, there's a strategic choice there too, because you may want to specifically remove one card from the game, or you may want to use that to put a card in the middle that you're going to benefit from. But of course, in the commons, anybody can buy them. Well, then after that's done, everybody reveals their cards and you get your stacks. So if I took the card, let's say I took Vampire A and Werewolf B, and that's not their names, but I figure that's the easiest way to describe it here. If I took them, I get all the copies of their cards. And then you get all the copies of the cards you had. Player three gets all the copies of the cards he had. Then we reveal the commons and put out all those in the middle of the table. And then we deal from the draft deck enough cards to the commons to make sure that there's eight specific cards out in the commons available to everybody. That is how you have created your decks, you know, what you're going to be playing. Now, the way you buy cards during the game is one step in the turn is what we call the claim step. And during that step, you use what we call influence to buy cards. And every card has an influence cost. It may cost 3 influence, 2 influence, whatever. The way you have influence is every turn, when you're the active player and it is your claim step, you can discard any card in your hand to your discard pile for 1 influence. So if a card costs 2, I discard 2 cards from my hand. I take a copy of that card and put it in the discard with them so that it'll come up the next time that I'm shuffling my deck. You also, to encourage deck building, one thing we noticed in a lot of deck building games is that when you reach a certain midpoint, nobody really wants to purchase anything new, because performing an action or doing something like that is more beneficial than actually buying any more cards. So the whole idea of deck building kind of falls out of the deck building game halfway through. So what we've done is, on every turn when you're the active player and it's your claim step, you have what we call a 2 floating influence, which means you just have 2 free influence to spend on anything without discarding any cards. So early in the game, you can much more quickly get more cards, because if you chose not to play anything on your turn, you just discard all 5 cards that are in your hand, and your 2 floating influence give you up to 7 influence to spend right away. So you could get quite a few cards. You could get one powerful card. You could go different ways with it.
You mentioned the stage of a deck building game where you go to not buying cards. I found it interesting on Board Game Geek. I believe one of your posts mentioned something about the wounds mechanic where you would put wound cards into other players' decks but would actually improve those decks, and I wondered if that was an intentional symmetry with how victory point cards work in some other deck building games like Dominion or Thunderstone, with the monsters as the victory point cards, where they go into your own deck and then kind of slow your deck down.
Right. These are sort of like anti-victory points, right? The person who has the least wounds in their deck is going to be the winner. So you want to make sure that your opponent's deck is filling up with more wounds than yours is. So whenever your monsters get through and damage the opponent, or whenever you do direct effects to damage them, they take on wound cards, assuming they can't do anything about the damage coming at them. When you put those wound cards in your deck, in the base set, each wound has text on it that once per turn, at the end of your turn, when you draw your next hand, you can discard any wounds that are in your hand to draw an additional card. So if I draw a hand and I get four cards plus one wound, I can discard that wound to draw two more cards. So I go from a hand of five to a hand of six. Now, I can only do that once on my turn. So if I discard that wound and then I draw two more cards and one of those happens to be another wound, then I'm just stuck with it. So the wounds, in effect, will speed you up and get you more card options in the early to mid game. But they do become a bit of a problem in the later game if you're taking on quite a few, because you're going to become a bit clogged once you've done your card cycle and you draw into more. And that's why we found that when people tried to do, in our early playtest, one of the things we saw as a possibility was that people would, you know, purchase, say, anywhere from 5 to 10 cards and then just try to run that as their whole deck. You know, I'm just going to draw these five over and over and over every turn. Well, inherently in the combat in this game, that's going to get you destroyed. Yeah, you need more than that. But also the wounds clogging you up, even though they make you more powerful early on, eventually they become a drawback where you're going to need the ratios of actual cards you have compared to wounds to be better. So you're going to need to keep purchasing. And that's another reason why we allow the floating influence that I was talking about, because it makes it easier in later game to go ahead and grab an extra copy of a card, because you may catch on to a tactic that another opponent is playing and you want to go ahead and grab a few cards out of the commons mid to late game to try to stifle that before the game's over.
You talked a little bit earlier, Todd, about the flavor of the game, and there are ghouls and werewolves and vampires. When you're drafting or building your deck, do decks tend to fall into those factions, or do they have all the different supernatural beasties in them?
They tend to have all the different supernatural beasties. The game is not really faction-based. The conceit being that you are some sort of overlord of the night who's you know, manipulating all the various things to your own maniacal ends. And so you may have a deck that has both werewolves and vampires. You could also end up with hunters who are, you know, the humans fighting back, and as well as ghouls. So you're going to end up with a mix. Now, we're already at work on future expansions. We've already got two expansions planned for later in this year, and those expansions do explore keywords a little more. So trying to draft into more vampires than anything else, or more hunters than anything else, can be beneficial if you draft cards that are better with certain keywords, or some cards that are, well, I'll put it this way. If we have in playtest a card right now called Stake. So you can probably imagine what keyword is bad with Stake. So
I can't imagine. And actually, this is a bit of a narrow question, but one of our regular listeners on the Strange Assembly podcast asked about this on the forums at strangeassembly.com. And he was wondering why, given the popularity of zombies these days, Nightfall featured ghouls instead of zombies.
You know, it was funny. We actually picked that word for that very reason. We wanted to take a word that would sort of separate us from the pack a little bit, but still imply the same general monster. One of our ghouls, in fact, a promo card ghoul that we'll have, is actually called the Zombie Horde. So the ghouls fall into that range of, you know, sentient ghoul that was made by a vampire, all the way down to your traditional stumbling around the gas station trying to eat people type ghoul. At the beginning of the setting, ghouls are not terribly prevalent, but as the setting develops and the little meta story that we have behind it goes on, they're going to become a larger problem for everyone involved.
Now, Todd, in addition to the competitive within the game aspect of Nightfall, I know I've also seen some information about Nightfall tournaments being run at Gen Con. What plans does AEG have to support Nightfall as a competitive tournament game?
Well, that's definitely one of our goals. Now, you know, obviously Nightfall is not a CCG, and it won't have necessarily the robust tournament season that, say, L5R would have with the Kotai, right? It's just not the same kind of product. But we do intend to have tournaments at events. We're going to primarily try and focus our support for that at conventions more so than directly at a retail level. We will definitely have Nightfall support at the retail level, but our tournament focus will mainly be on larger scenes. So, for instance, at Gen Con, our thought process right now is that we will have a large tournament, tables of four. When your game of four concludes, the top two players will move on to be paired against two from another table, and it'll continue that way. We already have some interesting ideas of what we're going to offer the winners. We've always had a history of trying to include our players in what's going on in the game, and our ideas for the Nightfall tournaments definitely doesn't deviate from that too much.
The interactive storyline deck building game?
Not exactly interactive storyline. We're think about cameos. That's a better way to think of it.
Okay. Now
you always wanted to be a vampire? Well, guess what?
You mentioned earlier Thunderstone, which is another deck building game that AEG produces and that I think has had a good deal of retail success. What lessons has AEG learned from producing Thunderstone that has been incorporated into this second deck building with a purpose game?
Well, a lot of different things. We've learned a lot from the way we marketed Thunderstone. We learned a lot from the way we launched it. You know, Nightfall has a much heavier launch going on with a lot of sampling. We are sending out a bunch of preview copies in many different ways to many different people at different levels of the game industry, from customers to retailers to distributors, all the way around, and the media, of course. And we also, funny enough, one thing I think we learned from Thunderstone was to be a little more bold with our printing and let's go ahead and print more rather than wait, because Thunderstone at this point, the base set of Thunderstone is actually coming off its sixth printing at this point. And so with Nightfall, our base printing is going to have a lot larger print run. And we've actually already put into our schedule for the year a reprint of it when we expect to be sold out. So we're being a little more aggressive as a company with this one and what we think we can get out of it.
Now, I know that probably the most common complaint, actually almost the only complaint I ever really heard about the original Thunderstone release, was the box and how the cards were stored.
Yeah.
What sort of storage system is Nightfall going to be using?
Yeah, I know all those comments about the box. There's an interesting story behind that that we really can't tell anyone at the moment, but hopefully we'll be able to share that someday in the future when we're all old. But what we're going with in Nightfall is this basically the same box that Thunderstone's expansions have come in, Wrath of the Elements and Doomgate Legion, where it is the double row box with dividers and the foam block inserts that keep your cards in there tight. And It was so well received in the board game community that we figured there was no reason to try to reinvent the wheel another time. You know, if people like this, let's give them what they like, you know. And so we're going with that. And as an aside, Thunderstone Dragonspire, which is coming out relatively soon, is a return to a larger box for Thunderstone, but the things we've done with the smaller box of Thunderstone are incorporated into the larger box. Dragonspire can be viewed somewhat as a, I guess if you're thinking in CCG terms, you could think of it as a new base set, right? All the contents are completely new, but it's set up as a good jumping on point for people who are just getting into Thunderstone.
I'm glad to hear that Nightfall repeats that. I really like with Thunderstone being able to take all the cards and just put them in one expansion box and then still have them all be easily sorted with the oversized divider cards that you guys included. You mentioned earlier a contest that was going on right now for Nightfall. Did you want to tell our listeners any more about that?
Yes, absolutely. We're doing a contest called The First 100 Days. It began on January 1st, and it will run for 100 days, hence the name. If you visit our official website for Nightfall, which is nightfallthegame.com, you can go there and you'll find the link to it. And if you put in your mailing information, you're entered in the contest. And every day for 100 days, we draw one name each day, and that person will receive a free preview copy of Nightfall. They will start, the first batch will start shipping around February 1st. And after that, basically every day that a name's drawn, a copy will ship. It is a, as we say, it is a preview set. It comes in a preview box. It's a different box than the retail one. It is not a double row box. It's a single row box. If you remember, some of you old timers may remember the Do Unto Others set from Doomtown, the sort of short telescoping box. It's that very same thing, and it comes with the cards, some of the foam blocks, and a rule book for you, and those will be completely free to the winners. So definitely go there and sign up. That's nightfallthegame.com. We've already had thousands of people enter, so get in there. You only need to enter one time. Your name won't be taken out until we're through, or until you've won, which is, the other way to guarantee you're not in the drawing anymore. We'll also be sending those very same preview copies out to hundreds of retail stores in the coming month to let people be able to go to their local store, try out the game before it's on sale. And we're also going to be sending several of our nearly around 100 copies of the preview set out to various media outlets, blogs, magazines, and wonderful podcasts like Strange Assembly.
So if people want to find out more information about Nightfall, where would they go to do that?
Best place to do that, like I said, is the website, nightfallthegame.com. We also have a Facebook group. You just search for Nightfall and it'll come right up. And we've been doing a lot of interaction with the players there as well. If we can get a certain number of followers, we'll give away extra copies of the preview set just to the Facebook fans. We are also letting them help choose what, I guess you'd say, what species each of the previews comes from. As we're going through the previews, they can vote on that. And you can also look up our entry at BoardGameGeek, which has a lot of the different reviews and magazine previews, PDFs and stuff like that already pulled together under one entry. So definitely check out those places to find out more. You can also look, if you have access to these, the January issues of Game Trade Magazine and the ACD catalog both feature Nightfall on the cover and with feature articles. And the quarter one Greater Games Industry catalog will have a Nightfall feature article, and Nightfall will be on the cover of that as well. So you can find out about it in any of those places.
Okay. Thanks a lot for talking with me today, Todd.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. This has been a Strange Assembly interview. Our podcast is available on iTunes, and you can check us out on our website at www.strangeassembly.com.